Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl PLC. We back live 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio each and every Friday. We starting off with a jam-packed show here on Eco Word, starting at 10 AM, man, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. Today is Love Day. It's February 14th, so we want y'all to show love, join in on the conversation, be a part of the conversation, engage. 215-634-8065, toll free 1-866-361-09. You can always see my face as well as the guest face on Word TV by clicking that link in the bio. And don't forget, you need to download the Word Radio app today in your Google Play stores, your Apple stores, all that good stuff, so you can listen to Word 365 24/7 a.m. to the p.m. But you already know I want to jump into it with our jam-packed show. I'm really excited to be speaking with these two amazing filmmakers coming out of the city of Philadelphia, doing some really big things, just spreading the word about what's really happening with Black farmers, right? This is what Eco Word is all about, sharing stories and making sure that voices are also being heard. So we're going to jump into it. We got two filmmakers on the line with us right now. I'm going to let them introduce themselves as we get this conversation started. Charlene, I'm going to start with you.
Hi, good morning. My name's Charlin Griffith Foro, and I am co-director, screenwriter, and overall, like, professional niece to the aunties. And
And
I'm joined
Charlene,
with Ryan.
I appreciate the correction. My apologies on that name mistake.
It's all good. And my partner's here.
Hey, my name is Janine Kayembe Oro. I am the director. Co-director and lead producer for the Aunties film. Just excited to be here because I also used to work with Eco Word.
That's exciting, man. I mean, everything was full circle. We were just talking about that off air. I appreciate you both for coming through. We got a lot of conversation about just this topic. It's coming out Monday the 17th. Are you guys excited? I know you guys have been in the thick of it for a very long time, and now you're finally getting to the premiere of it all. Are you guys excited?
Very excited, very excited. I think Black public media approaching us, being able to have its first streaming moment on Afropop Shorts is a blessing. They've been at this for a really long time. And so, this being a film about legacy, being able to be a part of that legacy of Black public media's work is amazing. And actually, one of our assistant director, Ozlie Dukan, their film, Sundown Road, is also on Afropop Shorts. So the aunties and Sundown Road are going to be on there together.
I love that. And when it comes down to telling a story as a director, that could be a lot of pressure, right? Because you want to make sure you get this story told correctly. And especially with something as sensitive as this story, because it's actually transforming how people view farming here in America. So did you feel any pressure as a director or a co-director?
I would say that there's always pressure when you're creating something. There's that contraction, that happens, that tightness, that pulling together, that yoking, of all of the elements, and then the release, right? The birth. So I would say there wasn't, it wasn't an unduly amount of pressure, but we definitely felt a commitment. We feel an obligation. We feel just a loving promise, to each other and to the stories of our people. And in this case, our beautiful, bright aunties who have given us so much over the years. So there's definitely a sense of duty, but not too much pressure about it.
I love it.
For me,
And
for me.
for you. So Janine, I definitely want to jump you in the conversation after that. She touched on legacy, right? And in this film, you touch on Harriet Tubman's legacy, because this is how part of the farm is through how they travel through the Underground Railroad. And I wanted to, touch on that as far as us being in Black History Month. You're dropping the film on the 17th of February. What's your thoughts on that? Just contributing to legacy and history, in her story, I guess.
I think, well, We did talk about this a little bit yesterday. The history of the land is that, well, one, Aunt Paulette, her family, her great grandparents, owned a piece of land next door to this farm that the aunties currently live on. So they didn't always know that this piece of land was connected to Harriet's history. There's a lot of confusion about how the land is connected to Harriet, and this farm is where Harriet was able to take her family out of enslavement. Her mother and brothers were enslaved there. Her dad worked in that forest because he was a logger and carpenter. So this was the farm where her family was enslaved, and then her family was pulled out of enslavement by Harriet.
And when you say the farm, you talk about Mount Pleasant Acres Farm.
Mount Pleasant Acres Farms. This farm used to be owned by the people that enslaved Harriet's family, which is, we know, the Thompson farm, who was the brother, who's the son-in-law of Brodus, who was the owner of Harriet Tubman while she was enslaved. So being a part of that history, I think is, it is a part of a spiritual journey, and that I went on, preceding even knowing anything about the farm or the aunties, just understanding Harriet's journey. But I think I'm most connected to the auntie's journey as a part of that history, and as a part of that legacy. And making this film, as people who are artists, as people who are farmers and stewards of land, it was important to really connect all of these dots together. Because I don't connect all the way to Harriet. It goes Harriet, then Aunt Paulette's great grandparents, then Aunt Paulette's mom, then we add Aunt Donna, then so then we keep on going, and then it lands to us. And I do think that in the film, there's the ending of the film, they're looking into the audience, which for us was them speaking to the future. So we have a timeline that we do move throughout the film.
I love that. And part of the timeline, you guys touch on challenges that the aunties had to face, just being landowners, of the farm in general. And I would love for both of you to touch on that, having the conversation and bringing these stories to life as far as the challenges that they had to face. Can you share any of the challenges that they talked about throughout the film?
Well, I think that in the film, what we hear about, I wouldn't call them challenges necessarily. I think discovery. I think I would use the word discovery. Aunt Paulette and Aunt Donna have a really beautiful story of how they acquired the side of the farms that they live on and that they do the farming on. And so in 1994, making the decision to leave jet setting, basically, they were living in Japan, they were living all over the United States, they were moving around, they were traveling, they were being active participants in like their network of friends and family in a way that had them on the move. They were migratory at that time. So making the decision in 1994 to come to a place and do farming requires your presence. Farming requires being in one place for a long time. Aunt Donna, tells us about, not in the film, but has told us the story about when she looked at Aunt Paulette when they were visiting Maryland, one time when she was in the service and they were moving around, and said, "I'm going to retire to this land. I'm going to retire to, the Eastern Shore of Maryland. We're going
This
to live on a,
community.
this community. We're going to live on a farm here in Caroline County." And so in 1994, there was, yesterday, the term that came up was spiritual obedience. It was a matter of them being obedient to what they had already put forward, what their spirits were already calling to them, and the alignment that just kept happening for them, honestly. So So different than challenge is, I think the challenge was to go with the flow, go with spirit. But, in a way, there were not actually obstacles. The way was completely open for them by spirit to do what they set out to do. Yeah, and it's a miracle and a joy to be on the journey, with them now. Because they've been calling in all of the nieces and nephews and friends and collaborators that they have, for so long.
I love that. And we all just watched this Super Bowl weekend pass in the halftime show. Kendrick Lamar made so many different, subliminal messages as taking a stance of saying, the revolution will be televised. I am the new activist, right? And I wanted to just ask, based on what you just said, would they call themselves activists, in their own kind, in their own shape and form? Because what they're doing as Black farmers is really helping and pushing against the resistance, against everything as far as what we're dealing with as far as environmental justice. Or environmental, injustices that we're dealing with on a daily basis.
Something that relates to the last question and this one about challenges and about activism, like how they did it. Something that's very, I would say, different about their story, other than the stories that we've seen, which is very few and far between about Black gay women, is that we always ask them the question, and so many people ask, well, how did they do it? They were, gay in the what was that, 60s, 70s, 80s, in a time where,
It
we
wasn't
saw
accepted.
in a time where it wasn't accepted. But there to watch when they when we asked them that question, they said, we just did it. We were just doing it, and we were just who we were, and that's how we lived. They never talk about, like, we had to hit the streets and march, and not saying that people shouldn't, but I feel like a lot of what we think of activism is this very is a fight and this like struggle and all of these challenges, versus their how they explain it to us is that they just did it. They just made a way. They definitely had resources. Aunt Donna was in the military and things like that. But the way they used their resources, the way they moved, shows that they just did it. That I don't know if they would call themselves activists or like freedom fighters and things
They
like that.
do, but they do. They absolutely call themselves activists.
They do, but I don't think it's in the way and perspective that we would look at it today. I think their fight is very much, she, like Aunt Paulette, is on a lot of boards throughout their community. They are very much active within Preston and within like the Black farming community. and I think it's a, for them, it's about the relationship building. It's about stewarding this land and keeping up with it, because we know how hard that is, because we've seen Black land loss happen so much when it comes to Black eldership and Black families, people of color in general, indigenous families, losing land. So I think that is a part of their activism, versus what we would think about it today, marching in the streets and things like that.
I love that. Thank you for your transparent answer. For those who are just tuning in, we're talking about The Aunties, the award-winning short film about two Black women who are elders going to save, I'm sorry, two Black women who are a viral sensation working to help keep Harriet Tubman's spirit alive through agriculture, education, and heritage preservation. The film next episode will be on Black Public Media Outline. And the series is going to be on Afro Pop Digital Shorts, and it began streaming this Monday, February 18th. You do not want to miss it, coming up on their YouTube channel. So definitely stay locked. And I'm sorry about those hesitations. I just want to make sure that I'm giving out the right information. And again, we're talking about The Aunties, which is an award-winning short film about two women, elders, and a viral sensation working to help keep Harriet Tubman's spirit alive through agriculture, education, and heritage preservation. So when you think about that, right, for people who are listening, and we want them to be able to enjoy this short film, enjoy what's about to be going down on Monday the 17th, why do we want people to pay attention? Why do we want people to be involved?
I think that the invitation that the film makes is coming from, so many different arms, I should say, or limbs of a tree, like there's a calling in for people that are, a part of the LGBTQIA plus community. There's a call for young people. There's a call for Black people. There's a call for elders. There's a call for those of us who have elders, that are wanting to deepen relationships. So I think there's a lot of different entry points. There's many roads that lead to freedom, essentially, the biggest thing for us, is that this has been a love letter, to them and the work that they've done and the partnership that they've cultivated with each other and the space that the farm has given them both to grow and to call in the people that they want to grow with, for better or worse, all of the relationships that the farm has brought to them has developed in them a sense of purpose. They just recently were awarded the Harriet Tubman Lifetime Achievement Award.
Congratulations.
And it speaks to a life of intentional movement, activism. It speaks to, I think Janine used the word activities, right? So the idea of the activist, I love that, she said not in the way that you might think. And that is a call in to people to recognize you might not do your activism the way someone else does, but the important thing, as Harriet also said, was we have to keep moving. Never backwards. We're moving forward. Let's go.
For sure.
So I think, yeah.
I didn't want to cut you off. I actually wanted to ask you a question following up on what you mentioned. One of the things that stood out to me as far as, when I was doing my research and watching some of the clips, it was a witness tree and how it symbolizes healing and resistance. And I wanted to just ask you all that, I wanted to bring it to the forefront of, when it comes down to this particular tree, what can we, be looking out for? What's the teaser on that one?
Well, the tree just won an award as well last year for the tallest tulip poplar in Caroline County. So
Wow.
she's
She's an
an
award-winning
award winner
girl.
also.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I think the trees, like Charlene said, it's the largest tulip poplar in that county. And this is all opinion-based and fact-based from my perspective. But as we know, that farm was used for timber. Harriet's father was a logger. He made ships, and worked at this mill. And for that tree to have withstood this amount of time in an active forest where trees were being cut down, we feel that there is significant spiritual energy, spiritual significance, sorry to use it again, of this tree. And it's called the Witness Tree. I think it was named that by some students at Morgan State who did a study about it, that it has seen so much. And that tree has definitely seen Harriet, Harriet's family, and all of our other enslaved ancestors that were there working that forest,
Beautiful.
working that land. So for it to actually hold all of that energy and for us hundreds of years later to come back and commune with it and commune with the forest that it's in, I think like you can really feel your ancestors there. You could really feel the hurt, the pain, but also the joy that they also that they the bits and pieces of joy that they found while being on that land, as well as the indigenous people too.
For sure. And we got about like 3 minutes left, and I want to ask these two quick questions. One, the farm itself is going to draw a lot of attention once it airs, on Monday. People are going to see it's going to be open to the public. Is it something that people can come see themselves? Can people go to the farm? Can people, see the tree for themselves? Is this something that is open to the public?
The farm is open to the farm is open by invitation only.
Okay.
So it's open to the public, but please don't pull up.
Okay. Okay.
the aunties like to be able to extend invitations throughout the year for people to
Makes sense.
join them.
Because this
They
is
are
their
on the
property. This
land.
is their home.
This is
Yes.
their private property.
Yes. That makes
That
sense. I
yes.
just wanted to put that out there, people. Don't be pulling up. Don't be dropping no address. It ain't no party at the farm tonight. Ain't none of that going
Yes.
on.
And I think that ties to what you were asking about Black land stewardship and having Black family land is like if you were not drop the pin, don't pull up, don't come unannounced. But yeah, we on the website, theaunties.farm, we have a calendar of events that gets updated. So the events for the year are going to be, posted as they're scheduled.
Awesome.
I would say that the event that people could keep an eye out for or mark their calendars for is for June 19th, which is our
Okay.
Juneteenth
Yes,
celebration.
chef.
That is going to be a beautiful big day-long pull up. If there was any day that I would say you can pull up unannounced, it's June 19th,
Juneteenth.
2025 this year at Mount Pleasant Acres Farms. But
Yeah.
please keep, just keep a look at theaunties.farm
Because
for
we
more details.
definitely we host work days, we have all different types of events. I'm going to be hosting a camp out for specifically LGBTQIA folks that are, that are in that area. So the farm is active and does accept visitors, just like we said, by invitation
By
only
invitation
and during
only.
these special events, which we do
Awesome.
have a bunch coming up this year.
I love
Yeah.
that. And my last question I wanted to ask you, because I live in the city of Philadelphia, and we have a lot of food deserts here, right? So when you think about a Black farm, you want to shop there. Is it possible that we can buy produce and get, fresh vegetables and stuff from the actual farm itself? Is that a thing? Well, this year, well, so we have a food project here in Philadelphia. Our program, the Free Brunch program, has a free market in Southwest Philly. And so
Awesome.
sometimes we are able to distribute food from the auntie's farm.
Awesome.
But I would say, again, like keep up with us. The Free Brunch program, you can follow us on Instagram. You can see
Awesome.
the auntie's film on Instagram as well. And so when we have work days, like at the end of last year, we partnered with BLM Philly and took a bus trip down to the farm, leaving from Southwest right in front of King Sessing Library, and went
Beautiful.
down to Maryland. So we have different activities, and the market is open. For the next few months, we'll be doing markets once a month.
I love that.
Obviously, this is not necessarily growing season, but yeah, keep in touch with us and see what we have available. And what we have going on.
I love that. And I know that you gave out the auntie's website, but can you guys provide your website, social media, all that good stuff as well?
Yeah, our website, we have an organization that holds all of our programs and projects, www.holistic,
Holistic. Ooh.
holistic dot art,
Oh,
ART.
I
So
love that.
that's Yeah, and you can find everything there. The free brunch program, Janine's Rugged Queer Project, the Black Women's Basketball Museum that Janine's working on. You can find everything there. The Auntie's film. Yeah.
I love that. And I appreciate you both for coming on Equal Word this morning. Thank you for blessing the airways. Thank you for the work that you're doing and sharing this story. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Let's have a watch party here in the city somehow, some way to get more people watching it. I appreciate you both. We better go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we got more Equal Word. Stay locked every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's your girl POC. We'll be right back.